Tapes and Scouts, a podcast where two friends review every single movie they watch. Are you ready?
Are you ready to go? Are you ready to go? I am ready to go. So let's go.
Blip, beep, ba doo ba doo boo. Dee ba dee bow. Power Man 5000. Anyways, I didn't think that's how we're going to start this, but hey, we did.
Hey, neither did Power Man 5000.
Yeah, man. There's a band I saw 600 times.
I believe that.
They were with everyone.
They really were just like, oh, you're touring, we're going.
They were ready to go.
They were ready to go.
They were ready to go as advertised.
Yeah.
Movies. I got two, you got two.
Oh, that's true.
Which I haven't said in a while. I'm very sorry.
It's okay.
Would you like to go first, or would you like for me to go first?
I would like you to go first, and I would like for you to fucking rock it.
Oh, well, you're in luck, because I have a good movie to start with.
See, I knew that.
You knew that?
No, I didn't.
Oh, stop looking at my paper, bro.
I can't even read that paper, bro.
I can't either, so don't worry about it. My first movie is from the year 2000.
Yeah, now you have to do it, because this is
in
your
year 2000. That's right, I do have to do it.
Yep.
Love my classic Conan. Classic. I rung in the new year. I watched this on the 1st of January, 2024. Whoa. Memento.
Which was it? What was it?
Memento.
Ah, see what I did there?
Oh.
I couldn't remember.
Memento.
Oh.
Yes. Memento is awesome.
It's got to be what you watch. It's written on my left arm.
Did you write it down?
I did.
Okay. That's great. Oh, wow, you did.
I did.
That'd be a fun, you know, there are some tattoos in this movie that would probably be pretty interesting to get as actual tattoos.
On my left butt cheek, I have Joe Pantoliano.
Oh.
Yeah.
He is a treat.
Hey, always.
Definitely a treat. Well, this movie's runtime, IMDb minutes, 1 hour, 53 minutes, mystery thriller directed by Christopher Nolan.
That's right.
An early Christopher Nolan.
Oh, one of his very first.
Starring Guy Pearce, Carrie Ann Moss, and Joe Pantoliano.
There he is.
Yeah, he's very good in this. Oh, I think people forget how great he is.
And then you watch something he's in, and you're just like, damn it, what, like, why, how'd I forget? He's so good.
I forgot he was the dude in The Matrix.
Yeah.
What pill do you take? He's like, I don't care, this tastes, I know this isn't steak, I don't care.
Yep. Just put me back in The Matrix for
put me back in, damn it.
Yeah.
I watched this because Cliff, Olivia, and I were all talking about Christopher Nolan films, and I was like, oh man, Memento is so damn good, why is this not on the podcast? So, here we go. Your IMDb movie summary. A man with short-term memory loss attempts to track down his wife's murderer.
Yep.
So good.
So good.
Wife, have you seen this movie? Okay, good. Then I haven't done you a disservice. I felt bad watching it without you because it's a murder movie, and you know.
It's so good.
It's very good. Guy Pearce crushes it in this movie. He is so believable as having short-term memory loss and having issues, and the fact that it was due to a violent act.
Yes.
And it's all concussion. These are all things that are in the real world. This person could exist.
Yep.
And it's just him tattooing onto his body every time he finds a clue because he can't remember. He could literally leave the room, go back into it a minute later and not remember why he left the room.
Yep.
It's very sad.
It is.
It's very emotional. Your emotions are all over the place. And when you get other characters, any character, you're like, is this a good character? Is this a bad character? And they give you enough reason to doubt everyone.
Yeah. It's like written on him, like so-and-so lies, and it's just like,
don't believe their lies. Yeah. Don't believe this. Huh? Don't do this.
Like, why is it? What? And it's just, yeah, when he has, like, the time to, like, just, like, get frustrated and lose it, like, it's so good because you can tell he's, like, just so, like, sad and angry, and, like, there's so many emotions he's able to evoke at different points and, multiple of them at the same time. It's really well done.
And like there's moments where people are taking advantage of him and he's just kind of hapless almost.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't understand what's going on. And then other times he's incredibly serious. Mm-hmm. The guy renting multiple rooms to him, which was the dude from Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah.
That guy's been in a million things, but I always think of him from Sons of Anarchy. And just like, what are we doing? And he'll go the same place a couple times. And once Carrie Ann Moss shows up, though, her character is so good.
Yes.
She is, because you're like, you feel like she's an abused woman and she's in a bad relationship and he's going to help her because they have similar issues going on. But then you're kind of like, well, is she good? And she gives you enough reason to doubt her a lot. And yes. A lot of the emotions cling on her because you get to see when he first meets her at the bar and she spits in the beer because she doesn't like him.
Right.
And gets everyone in the bar to spit in his beer. And she waits a little bit and he forgets. Yep. And he drinks the beer and everybody laughs, and she believes him, and she gives him a better beer, a clean beer. And just like, there's a lot of, and like he plays it so hapless.
Yes.
I love the parts where he's on the phone and he's like having this long discussion with somebody, and he's like trying to get information off of them. He's telling the story that he always tells.
Yep.
And he, in the middle of talking on the phone, looks at one of his tattoos that says, "Don't ever answer the phone."
Yeah.
And he's like, "Oh shit, who is this?" And it just hangs up.
Yeah.
And you're like, "Oh my God." And it's like such a weird roller coaster, this movie.
Oh yeah, it's great because it kind of leaves you with him. Like, mm-hmm. It doesn't give you too much. Sometimes it puts you a little ahead so you can watch him have to catch up.
Right.
But other times it leaves you with him, or even sometimes behind him.
Right.
It's really masterfully crafted.
It's such a cool movie. It is. It's a hard movie. It really is, but it is incredible. So many good performances in this movie because it is a small cast. It's only in so many set pieces.
Yep.
It was done very well.
Multiple people from The Matrix.
All of The Matrixes here. Yeah. All of them. I saw a funny meme of Doc Ock from Spider-Man 2, and it says that moment when you realize he's cosplaying every character from The Matrix all at once.
Yeah, pretty much.
Including the Sentinels. Yeah, I was like, oh, that's good. Anyways, we're not here to talk about memes. We're here to talk about scores. You ready?
Yeah.
IMDb gave this an 8.4.
Whoa.
Very high for them.
Yeah.
The critics, 185. Just 185? At Rotten Tomato, 94%.
Damn.
Yes. The audience, I didn't write down how many. Oh, yes, I did. 250,000. I put in the wrong spot. Plus, also 94%.
Damn.
I didn't go quite that high, but I did go 8.5.
That's quite high for you.
Yes, it's very high for me. This movie is awesome. It might be my favorite Christopher Nolan. I don't know. He's got a couple good ones.
The Prestige, I think, is mine.
That's probably what it's between.
So good. But this one, I wouldn't begrudge anybody who said that Memento was their Christopher Nolan movie of choice.
For sure.
He's made so many good ones. If somebody's like The Dark Knight, I'd be like, yeah, I understand.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, Inception. It makes sense. You know, like, it's just all, like, you can't go wrong.
No.
1974.
Whoa.
Black Christmas.
Have yourself a Black Christmas.
I will. Okay. 12:15:23 is when I watched this one. Mm-hmm. It is 1 hour and 38 minutes long. It is a horror.
Did Sam watch this with you?
She did. We watched this. So we were babysitting her younger siblings.
Okay.
Who range in age from like 11 to 16.
Okay.
And I was like, all right, Sam wants to watch a Christmas movie. She got popcorn and all this stuff to make fancy treats.
Ooh.
While we watched the movie. And I was like, what do you want to watch? And like, we want to watch a horror movie.
Nice.
And I was like, okay, but Sam wants to watch a Christmas movie. How about a Christmas horror movie? So I narrowed it down to like three movies that I have that fall in the genre of Christmas horror movie, and they picked Black Christmas.
Nice.
There is some strong language in here. Do not watch this with 11-year-olds.
Oh.
This is directed by Bob Clark, who would later go on to direct A Christmas Story.
Okay.
By the way.
Nice.
Starring Olivia Hussey, Keir Duella, and Margot Kidder in an early role for her.
Oh, nice.
Your summary for this one. During their Christmas break, a group of sorority girls are stalked by a stranger.
No, boy. Not a stranger.
Yeah, this movie has a lot of similarity to When a Stranger Calls.
Okay.
So this is the calls are coming from in the house.
Yep.
Plot kind of thing. So there's a sorority house, and the girls are slowly being offed by this weird character who keeps making like these unhinged prank calls, and you find out that he's actually like hiding out in their attic.
Right.
And no one knows it through the course of the movie. And this movie's awesome in that it's so good at being like this looming threat for you because you as the audience see it.
Right.
And, like, you know he's there. You can see like Bob Clark does these great like POV shots of him like climbing up the trellis initially of the sorority house and then like peering through like cracks in the attic floorboard so he can see the rooms underneath.
That's like very terrifying.
Scary in this like voyeuristic kind of way, like how Hitchcock set up the little peepholes in Psycho and like where you're just like this uncomfortable feeling of somebody being there who shouldn't be is just universally uncomfortable and scary.
Correct.
And this movie does a really nice job of moving through that. It's got John Saxon in it, an early role, who's the dad in Nightmare on Elm Street.
Nice.
Which is really cool. And of course, he's a cop because he's a cop in like every movie he's in.
He's got that cop look.
He has a cop look. And I mean, it's no surprise this movie went on to inspire like such small little minor indie films as John Carpenter's Halloween.
Right.
Like, this movie just is doing such advanced and creepy things. Bob Clark was so on top of it early in his career. This would be after, like, Children Shouldn't Play with Dead Things, which I think was a few years before this, and I don't think nearly as successful personally. But it's cool that his career then went into, like, Porky's and Christmas Story.
Porky's is a weird one.
So he was, like, you know what I mean, doing this, like, really weird, like, you know what I mean, like, these, like, low-budget horror films, and then switched it up to like these sex comedies and then A Christmas Story.
Right.
But this does have a lot in, this has a lot in common, oddly, with A Christmas Story, in that very like vintage, kitschy kind of holiday feel to it.
Okay.
So like there's like the bright like bulbs, but like one of the bulbs in the line is out.
And
like,
sure.
Just authentic little hallmarks he would then go on to plug into Christmas Story to add that texture to it.
Like flickering and like, yeah, weird kind of colors.
It feels kind of like it was bought and put away in a closet and has been brought out like that 4 or 5 years now. And it's starting to, you know, show its age and shabbiness. Like it has like that kind of like shag to it. He's really good at that for some, like he has that authenticity. I think you know what I mean when you talk about A Christmas Story.
For sure.
Where it has that kind of palpable, almost texture to it. And this has the hallmarks of that as well.
Nice.
Really cool, very tense, and unsettling movie. The phone calls in this are rough, and they do have some very coarse language. So again...
No 11-year-olds.
Yeah, this is some like filthy stuff.
How much in trouble were you?
Not terribly, because there was no nudity, but you know what I mean? Talking about certain body parts with very specific coarse language and what's done to those body parts is a little rough when it's like, oh yeah, there's some like 11-year-old kids here who probably don't know what this is. And there is a fellatio joke in here too, and that's on the lighter side of things. And
what's a fellatio? Yeah, exactly. Max.
It's like, we don't know.
Is that girl? That girl from The Office? Yeah, Felatio?
That's her.
Oh,
IMDb gives this a 7.1 out of 10. Rotten Tomato critics, fittingly, 39 of them give it the second best score possible.
Nice.
69, and audience 10,000 plus 76%.
Okay.
And I'm falling right in the middle of that with a 7.5 out of 10. This is a, if you don't love it, and it definitely has like some age to it, right?
Sure.
Like them having to take 7.5 minutes to figure out where a call is being routed from. If that's got a little bit of age to it, or you should watch it just if you're getting into film and trying to understand filmic technique and things like that, is worth your time in that regard, because there's so many hallmarks of modern horror cinema from that movie.
Right.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Very cool.
Very cool. Well, speaking of very cool, nothing is cooler than Chuck Norris.
I have not found anything.
That's right, because it doesn't exist.
Oh, okay.
And I'm about to do some... We haven't done too much Chuck Norris on here, have we?
There has not been a whole lot of Chuck Norris.
So 1985.
Okay.
I'm doing Invasion USA.
Oh, boy, this is a canon film.
Oh, yeah. I watched this on the 11th of January, 2024. It's an hour, 47 minutes, action thriller, directed by Joseph Zito.
Joe Zito.
There he is, starring...
Maniac Cop.
That's right.
Yep.
Starring Chuck Norris, Richard Lynch.
No, I'm lying.
And Melissa Prophet.
Joe Zito is Friday the 13th, part 4.
The Final Chapter from 1984. It's actually my only bullet point, Max.
Okay.
I got you covered.
Good deal.
I was ready.
Yeah. Yep. Because Maniac Cop.
But who did Maniac?
Is. I'm looking it up to make sure I'm not crazy.
You could
Bill
be
Lustig.
Okay.
Another auteur of that ilk.
There you go.
Yeah, Bill Lustig.
So your IMDb movie summary, a one-man army comes to rescue when the United States are invaded by communists.
Yes.
This movie's not great.
No.
Chuck Norris is great, but this movie isn't.
No. Nope.
The idea, though, that a small group of terrorist kind of people could come into our country and just cause a bunch of havoc almost randomly. Like they're just going to go to your cul-de-sac, take out a bazooka and shoot 6 out of 10 houses.
Yep.
And just move on. And it's almost random.
Yep.
So, like, from that point of view, it's very realistic.
Yes.
They're just here to cause... There's a lot of them, and they're just causing
legit
some chaos.
Terrorists.
For sure. But Chuck Norris, he's always such a nice guy in his movies.
Yes.
It's like, man, why did you make that nice guy who was just fighting alligators angry? And they always do.
They always do.
I thought Richard Lynch was awesome in this movie. He was a very good villain. Very believable.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I haven't seen this one in a long time. This was a, like, watched it with dad on cable era movie for
100%.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he crushes it, though. Because it's just like, man, there's a bigger bad, and he gets taken out, and it's kind of like falls to him. And they're like, well, as long as he doesn't fall, our plan won't fail. So it comes down to, can Chuck Norris find him and take him out? It's fine. It's not going to light the world on fire. It's not the best Chuck Norris movie.
Oh, I disagree. It's trying very hard to light the world.
At least that one city block, that cul-de-sac, quite on fire. But it's fine. Yeah. It's just fine.
It's a pretty forgettable movie outside of the crazy that happens in a few set pieces.
Oh, I don't know what the budget of this movie is, but they blow up so much shit in this movie.
Yep.
The 80s were wild.
They were.
I can't even imagine. Like, did Chuck Norris even take pay? Because they had to blow up so many cars and drive them through malls and, you know, like Blues Brothers level of insanity here. But that's about it. I've hit all your bullet points already. This is what this is. So IMDb gave it a 5.4. Rotten Tomato critics, 21 of them, 19%.
Yep, I believe it.
Oh boy. The audience, 5,000 plus, 51%. Mm-hmm. No wife score because I didn't do that to her. I'm a nice person. I gave it a 5.5. It is pretty much in that 50% range, and you might like it a little better.
Yeah, that's, I think, very valid.
Yep.
It's a canon film.
Yes, it is.
I have a movie from 1 year before your movie.
Oh, really?
1984, Beverly Hills Cop. Watch this on December 20th, 2023. It's 1 hour and 45 minutes. It's an action comedy directed by Martin Brest, starring Eddie Murphy, Judge Reinhold.
Yep, there he is.
John Astin. Lisa Ibacher?
Hey, Lisa.
Thanks, Lisa.
Hi.
Your summary for this one: a freewheeling Detroit cop pursuing a murder investigation finds himself dealing with the very different culture of Beverly Hills. Yeah. This is like kind of an 80s classic as well.
For sure.
This is the movie that really put Eddie Murphy on the map. Like, he had did 48 Hours. And that was like, oh, okay. You know, the guy from SNL, like, what's he up to? And then he went on to do this movie, and it was just a box office phenomenon through, you know what I mean, the year it came out.
It's pretty impressive that he has an acting career, because he was so well known for that stand-up performance.
Yes.
Well, a bunch of them, but
Raw,
like,
and Delirious.
Whichever one was first.
I think Delirious too.
He was so, I don't want to say pigeonholed, but like, man, he crushed it so good. It's like, well, can he act?
Right.
Do we want him to act?
Yep.
Because he did so good at the stand-up side of things.
Let me look up while I'm here, because I'm pretty sure this is one of the Jerry Bruckheimer, Don Simpkins? Produced movies of the 80s, like Top Gun was in 86. Beverly Hills Cop in 84.
Nice.
Correct. So it falls into this very formulaic 80s kind of, you know, introduce your character, set up a very simple to have plot, and then let the rest of the pieces play out. That was their kind of selling point, was just, it's not a hard movie to follow, but the characters are compelling. And for me, it doesn't get much better for a team up than Axel Foley, Billy Rosewood, and Taggart. It's just a good trio, in my opinion. Their rapport together is awesome. They're hilarious. I think, you know, Judge Reinhold being this young, naive cop, and John Astin being like the grizzled, didn't get, he's a sergeant, he's, you know what I mean, but you can tell like he probably won't push too much farther than sergeant, and he's like, you know what I mean, just kind of like doesn't take too much guff and like takes everything to heart and has to loosen up, where Judge Reinhold has to a lot still to learn. It's a good interplay with all of them, and Axel being like this kind of intermediary rogue gifted cop,
right?
And after his buddy's killed, going out there and just kind of letting nothing hold him back from figuring out what exactly happened, while he has to kind of constantly butt up against the Beverly Hills Police Department. It's a ton of fun.
It's a very good movie.
It's very funny. It's got one of the all-time best themes for a film, Axel F. by Harold Faltermeyer.
Absolutely.
Everybody knows the Beverly Hills Cop theme. Like, everybody knows that. It's one of those things that kind of transcends the film. Like,
for sure.
You may not have seen the movie. Like, Sam didn't see the movie, but she knew the Beverly Hills Cop theme. Like, you just have to know that.
Yep.
That beat is just, it's so iconic. And there is at time of recording, it has not come out yet. I think at time of release, it won't have come out yet, because it's going to come out till this summer, I believe, is the fourth Beverly Hills Cop.
Which I don't know if I want it.
I don't know either, but I'm going to go find out.
There you go.
Because I am a Beverly Hills Cop 3 apologist.
That's fine, as long as Balky comes back.
Yeah, and he's going to be in it.
Well, then we're good.
John Ashton's coming back, and he wasn't in 3.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. So I'm cautiously optimistic. They need to have something very important to say with that movie to do it now and not just be a cash grab.
Man, I hope so.
I hope so. But yeah, this one's awesome. It's a ton of fun. It's easy to watch. It draws you in. It's just a blast. The set pieces are great. The soundtrack kills. Like, you're just not going to do a lot better than Beverly Hills Cop.
I agree.
IMDb gives it a 7.4 out of 10.
Okay.
Rotten Tomato Critics, 52, give it 83%. Mm-hmm. The audience, 250,000 plus, give it 82%.
Okay.
And I give it a 9 out of 10. Ooh,
that's fun.
Yeah, it is a good movie, and I like it a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.